Hello, everyone, again. Another nice day outside today here in Chicagoland area. For those of you who know me, I enjoyed the Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup last night. You know, I get some joy out of certain things in this life. One of them is baseball. I like hockey, too. And it was fun last night watching them win. But, you know, it's interesting. As soon as the Stanley Cup was over, you realize that all glory in this life is fleeting. All glory is fleeting. Some things are enjoyable. But, you know, I thought about it with the Stanley Cup, when they won. It's a big lead up to it. You know, the Chicago Blackhawks had not won the Stanley Cup since 1961. And when that last shot went in overtime to win it, it was exciting for a moment. And, you know, you're happy and you're excited. But then you realize that the thrill, the anticipation of the event never matches what you really thought it would be. I remember back in 2005 when the Chicago White Sox won the World Series. Baseball is probably my number one sport, and I always loved the White Sox, and they had never won the pennant in my lifetime. And in 2005, when they won the World Series, I was very excited. But I remember as the next day came, it was like, you know, nothing really changed. The climax, to be honest with you, was nowhere near what the anticipation was. And I just want to, the reason why I bring that up is to say that all the glory in this life is fleeting. Sometimes the anticipation, for the most part, is better than the reality in many situations here. But I want to talk to you about an event that the anticipation will be exceeded by the reality, and that is the anticipation of seeing Christ, the actual anticipation of seeing Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read this in verse 13. Now we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are reposing, lest you may sorrow according as the rest also who have no expectation. And this is a shame. Those who are without Christ, they have no expectation about the future. They have no hope of resurrection. There's nothing worse than a funeral of people who really did not believe in God or in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, because they really don't understand, they don't know the hope of resurrection to come, and they certainly don't know about the far-off hope of the consummation when God will vivify and justify all mankind. Well, verse 14 says, "For if we are believing that Jesus died and rose, thus also those who are put to repose will God, through Jesus, lead forth together with Him. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we, the living, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, shall by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. For the Lord Himself," notice that, the Lord Himself, He's not going to send an angel or angels to get us like He's going to do with Israel. "For the Lord Himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger." It's His voice. He's got the voice of the chief messenger. "And with the trumpet of God," this is a war on death, "and the dead in Christ shall be rising first. Thereupon we, the living, who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be together with the Lord, so that console one another with these words." You know, in verse 13 to 18, if you read here, if you look at the Concordant Version, three times we see the word "together with." Verse 15, "God through Jesus will lead forth together with Him." Verse 17, "We at the same time shall be snatched away together with them in clouds." There's togetherness. And then "we shall always be together with the Lord." And I want you to notice this. First of all, at this snatching away, it's something that takes place at the same time. The Apostle Paul, when he died, when he was put to death for the truth, according to 2 Timothy 4, he did not go to heaven when he died. He was put to repose, as the Scripture says. But there is coming a day, if the Lord Jesus were to come today, we the living, who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds. You, me, Paul, and all the members of the body of Christ who have died will at the same time be snatched away together. And that term "snatched away" is interesting. It's the same word in John chapter 10. I'm going to turn there in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. It says this, and I am giving them aeonian, life aeonian. They should by no means be perishing for the aeon, and no one shall be snatching them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to be snatching them out of my Father's hand. I and Father, we are one. So no one can snatch us out of his hand. And this word snatching away is also used for the a wolf snatching away the sheep out of the flock. And I'm actually looking at my keyword concordance right now for this word. It's to seize suddenly. And it's found here in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. And as a wolf. Let me find that verse here. Boy, oh boy, I thought I had that verse on my margin here. Wolf snatches the sheep. John 10, verse 12. I'm sorry. And John 10, verse 12. Verse 11, I am the shepherd ideal. The ideal shepherd is laying down his soul for the sake of the sheep. Yet the hireling, not also being shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, is beholding the wolf coming and is leaving the sheep and fleeing. And the wolf is snatching them and is scattering the sheep. Now notice that. The wolf snatches them. Think of a wolf hungry as he sees a bunch of sheep. And he snatches them away because he's hungry and he wants those sheep. They look awfully tasty. It's his desire and yearning to get a hold of them. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4, you use it like this. Our Lord Jesus himself is hungry like a wolf, in a sense. He is hungry to get us out of here, to snatch us away from this present evil eon, and snatch us away to where he is, to meet him in the air, and then to take us to celestial realms. Thereupon we, the living who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds. Imagine that. The Lord Jesus longs for this event more than we do. The Lord Jesus can't wait to snatch us away and take us with him and to meet him in the air. And thus shall we always be together with the Lord. The Lord Jesus longs for this reunion. And we too, we should long for it. Long for this day when we meet him. And the anticipation is great. The more you dwell on this, the more you anticipate it, the better your service will be, the more you'll love him and long for him. But guess what? The actual event will be, I can't even describe it. It's going to be so much better than even the anticipation. You know, all those years of longing for the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox to win the Baseball World Series and the Chicago Blackhawks to win the Hockey Stanley Cup, that was nothing. That was just, you know, that was great. It was fun. But the actual receiving of meeting him in the air, being snatched away, is going to be, oh, Peter put it, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It'll be a glorious day. Imagine right now, close your eyes, those listening, close your eyes and think about this. One day, perhaps today, at the same time, all of us will be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. No more death, no more taxes, no more suffering. We're going to be meeting him in the air. And thus shall we always be together with the Lord. This is how it's going to happen, so that console one another with these words. Everybody, I know many of you are going through problems and suffering, but let me console you with these words. These words, the pattern of sound words, that we, the living who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Whatever suffering we're going through, friends, are going to be eclipsed by the glory that's coming when we meet our Savior. So accept your little sufferings. Thank God for them even. Oh boy, that's hard to say. Hard to say. Thank God even for them. Because when we meet him in the air, we'll look back and these sufferings will disappear. You know, it says regarding, imagine the situation with Joseph. When Joseph suffered from his brethren in the Hebrew scriptures in the book of Genesis, he was suffering. He was rejected by them. And when Joseph finally became second to Pharaoh in Egypt, you know what he named his first child? He named it Forgetting, for God had caused him, Elohim had caused him to forget all his toil and all his suffering. In other words, when Joseph received the pit, when he was glorified as king in Egypt, it made him forget all the terrible suffering he went through, the rejection by his brethren, the being in the guardhouse of Potiphar, Pharaoh's guard. All that suffering he went through was forgotten when he got to the glory. So he would say it was worth it. He would say, you guys devised it for evil, but God devised it for good. And we look forward to that day when we, like Joseph, will ascend to the throne, as it were, when we meet the Lord in the air. This is a great hope. Enjoy it. Now go out today and live in the light of this. And put a little smile on your face. And I know it hurts sometimes. I know we're suffering, but we're going to see our Lord. And we will realize not one tear we shed in this lifetime, not one tear was causeless. You guys have a great day.